Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. Me and B-Mitch out in Ashburn, Virginia, BigBear.ai, Commanders Training Facility. Good morning, yes. Brian. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Oh, brother, I feel like...
You look like you are ready for to do like a real TV show. got your jacket on. You're going to be burning up in here, though, dog. I'm letting you know right now. You got to pull off one.
Once I warm up, I'm going to take the jacket off. Actually, this will be pretty funny. Listen, you can watch us on the YouTube stream, 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. Obviously, you can listen to us on your radio or the Odyssey app, wherever. You can also watch us on Monumental. Let's kick Monumental things off with a bang here. I'm going to take this blazer off. wait till you see this logo. Thank you. All right, so.
Oh, I know the logo.
This one? You know this one. That's Rehoboth.
You always messing with people on that one. No, the other one. Come on. What the hell is that
one? Can you see that? Can you see that on Monumental?
It looked like a rocket taking off.
It's a little phallic. So I didn't know what to do. I played that crazy course in Kansas, Prairie Dunes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their logo. That's a yucca bush. But it, I don't know, man. It looks kind of
like
weird.
Like a something else bush. I heard some people talking about that this morning, about, you know, different things, and that what it looks like.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Trade deadline came and went, and a lot. There was a lot of action around the NFL. I mean, the Jets, major moves. The Cowboys make a big move for a D-tackle. Let's start with Washington, though. They didn't do anything.
Yeah. Like I said, if it wasn't something that blew them out the water for one of the players that they had that may have had some value, they shouldn't have done nothing.
I think the baseline, like, to me, in no way can you be buyers. And I wouldn't have necessarily said that. Like, even though this year appears to be lost, right?
Mm-hmm.
If the right deal was out there that required them buying something because they thought it was part of a long-term thing, I could have been okay with that if they hadn't dealt so many picks away to get Lattimore, Tunsil, and Debo. So they couldn't buy.
So they were in a position of strength.
They didn't have a lot of leverage.
So you had to basically shy away from the buying.
Right.
And then the selling aspect, you had to get what you better than what you thought. Or you couldn't do it.
Well, I agree with that. Right? Like, clearly, I think nobody matched their price, whatever their price was, because I'm sure there were conversations. There was one report out of Buffalo. I want to get my man's name right. Tim Graham covers the Bills for The Athletic.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, keep an eye on Debo and/or Von Miller to Buffalo from Washington. One or both of those guys would have made a ton of sense. Von Miller was up there last year. You can always use a pass rush help.
I kind of felt Von was not on the box because I was hanging out with him last night at a little kids football clinic, and his mindset was really on that, not on anything else. So.
Well, I mean, heck, by that point, the deadline had come and gone.
Yeah,
so. But the one question I think that needs to be asked in – the aftermath of no movement at the trade deadline, which I really don't think is a surprise. Tashawn Reed from the Washington Post had a good column. Maybe we see if we can get him on tomorrow. He had a good article last Friday, I want to say. Maybe it was Saturday. You know, I read the Post just about every day. It is the newspaper of my life.
Mm-hmm.
He had a good article just kind of explaining why they should stand pat and kind of predicting that they would stand mm-hmm. pat, right? And I agree with the premise. I agree with the moves yesterday, but There is a question that comes from not making any moves at the trade deadline, mm-hmm. which is not a pleasant question. Mm-hmm. What pieces that they would consider trading, right? Because let's be real, like, they have one of the elite pieces in the NFL in a young quarterback.
There you go.
But you're not moving him, period.
He's not going anywhere.
What pieces do they have in an injury-marred, what appears to be lost season, that between, and the important part of NFL trades is to remember, a lot of these are contract-driven and age-driven. Mm-hmm. Those are, the skill and talent is the one seed of what constitutes an NFL trade. Mm-hmm. But then contract and age are probably, say it's number one through five, and then six, and then probably like eight. Right? Like, mm-hmm. contract takes up six, seven, and then age is eight. Considering that arithmetic, like, what pieces do they have that the marketplace is really calling about? And that's where you start to wonder.
But see, that, I think that's, in a sense, I think it's a stretch. Because what if somebody called and it doesn't match your price and you don't let them go? Doesn't mean nobody didn't call.
Right.
Because I understand where you're going with that. Like, if nobody calls about the pieces you have, then what do you really have? Do you have much value? Do you have any players that you – there may be players that they called about, but
– I am sure there were calls,
I can't let you go just because.
Right.
You know, you need to offer the right price. And I think if the right price – see, I'm still stuck on that. If you did not offer the right price, they should not have moved. Because let's be real. Just like we saw them last year, very aggressive on the football field. And this year, it was questions that, well, why they not as aggressive? And now as the season going on, we can probably tell, well, they're not very comfortable with what they have out there. But the ultimate thing is, next year, there are people on this roster that's not going to be on this roster.
Right.
Which means that money now is money you can spend.
Right.
They already got a lot of money to spend.
Right.
So you can be as aggressive as you want next year in this offseason. So it's just like, when you're looking at, they probably already know the people that are on the contract, salary cap for next year that won't be on it.
Sure.
And all that money they got to spend, and you can start calculating that. So maybe that move right there proved that I don't have to make a move right now.
Well, and I think if you want to say trade Payne, he's technically under contract for next year, but he's not playing under that contract. There's mm-hmm. not enough guaranteed money on it. It's going to be a very similar situation with Payne that it was with John Allen last year, mm-hmm. I believe, right? Just contractually, that's the structure is setting up towards something similar to that, right? So, like, if you want to compare Quinnen Williams and Deron Payne and the haul that the Jets got trading away Quinnen Williams mm-hmm. versus Washington with Deron Payne, it's not a real comparison. One, Williams has been better. Like, he's played at an all-pro level. Williams mm-hmm. has been the better player, okay? That's one. Two, Williams is under contract. Dallas doesn't have to make a decision on what they're going to do with Quinnen Williams. Mm-hmm. They basically get him for 2 years.
Yes.
And then they have a team option. So, like, he is under contract, and, that's a plug-and-play situation.
Yeah.
Deron's not. So that changes – That changes the apparatus to trade for him significantly, because the team that's trading for him, hypothetically, more or less is getting a 9-game rental, unless they decide they're going to do something.
And
right?
that is probably a deterrent for a lot of people out there as well.
Kinlaw would be another piece that maybe you want to move. Kinlaw's mm-hmm. played fairly well. I think despite the hand-wringing about his contract, he's probably overperformed 15 mil per season at a D tackle. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just the reality of how people are paid at that position. Frankly, that's what you and I said when people were screaming about the money is, you know, you're basically paying him as a third tier D tackle.
Yeah.
It's just the money's so inflated, also, people can't catch up
with
it.
You just sign him and you trade him away. That looks bad on you.
Dude, it looks bad on them. And Kinlaw's.
Unless you get a hell of a haul.
But Kinlaw's also under contract for next year. So, like, that's part of your longer range plan, then what do you get for him? A fourth?
Yeah. Jay, listen, I understand everyone wants the NFL trades to be like the other leagues, but it doesn't make that big of an impact.
I mean, you could have Kinlaw's. Now, I don't know that he would play in 27 with no guaranteed money, but, like, even the 27 season on that deal looks pretty fair to all parties. There's no guarantees, so he may not actually go through with that. Like, we'll see. But next year, Kinlaw's on your books, dude. Like, trading him doesn't make a ton of sense. You could talk about Laremy Tunsil, who you're going to have to pay next year. But I think when they traded for Tunsil, they obviously are aware they're going to have to pay him, and they want him to be part of what they've got. Ertz, Debo, those guys probably aren't part of the plan for next season, but, like, does getting a conditional sixth really help you?
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I just listen, man.
Terry was never a real option.
The trades in the NFL don't make as big an impact as they do in other leagues unless it's a quarterback, unless it's probably a shutdown corner or an astronomical pass rusher. If you're not getting those guys, you more than likely are you could go get somebody and come back, and guess what? You'll be the same or worse. You might not be better at this particular time. So if they didn't have no move that was going to make a big, big difference, why? Because you could still build that in the offseason. You can still build that once everything come up with free agency and all that type of stuff. You can do some stuff where, okay, well, we're going to draft this, this, and this. Or you may have some of those draft picks. Move up and get an impact guy instead of saying, well, we're going to pick all these little guys down the stretch. Five picks or whatever they got, right?
Yeah.
So instead of having five, you might have four. You may have four more impactful guys instead of two impactful and three that not. We'll see.
I come out of the trade deadline with the result being moderately disappointing. Like, it's not a big deal. You would have liked, because you traded away so much draft capital over this past offseason, would you have liked to get some back? Sure. I don't think there was some big deal that they left on the table because they're chasing wins this year. Yeah. I don't think there was a big deal out there.
My thing is, if it wasn't going to make a difference this year, and make you instantly one of the better teams in the league, and you're going to be making a great playoff run, why do it? I understand it's maybe nice.
For me, it's the flip side. It's we recognize this year is lost for a number of reasons. Let's try to acquire what we can to build back. But I don't know the conditional six-round picks really get that done.
There we go. So if it's not nothing that's going to make a big impact, my mindset will always be, why do it? If that trade will still leave you as blah as you are now, why make that trade? Just to make one?
Right. And I think there is some reality of, I think, despite, you know, callers and people that are upset, like, I can't imagine anybody with rational thought thinks there's any major changes coming in Ashburn. Like, AP, Dan Quinn, nobody's going anywhere, right? And so, like, I don't even think it's self-preservation league. I think those guys are still going to try to continue to build towards their vision.
Yep.
And the guys they acquired,
I believe they wavered from their vision because of the success last year. And now they're saying, damn.
Yeah.
We got caught because we saw something last year, and everybody was hyped. And let's be real, they were hyped too, because they thought we were a lot closer. So they felt we just add a few veteran pieces, we can get there. And it didn't work. Like, you know, I heard, I don't know who it was, I think on the show with us, talking about, if you don't have injuries one year, you're going to have them the next year. Well, they were lucky last year. This year the injuries came. It is football. It's rolling hills, baby. It's going to happen or not. And then they went out and they tried it. Okay, it didn't work. And I think the thing for me is, I understand that. That's how football works. I'm not the typical person, oh, it didn't work, fire everybody. I'm not the fire everybody every damn other year type of person. Because we have done that. We did that for 20-something years. After 2 years, we always wanted to fire somebody. And we stay stagnant, okay? And we sit up here, it's easy. Now we can blame everybody that was making decisions. But you know who's asking them to get fired? Us. Fans, media. They got fired, and they come in, and then guess what? They never had any kind of consistency going. You got to at least get consistency, and then when you start seeing, like, people are like, well, this team had injuries, but they're still well, because they had a chance to build a great damn base. They had a chance to build a nucleus. And right now, we are not at that point. So just to do stuff because other teams are doing won't make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky because, like, we have to kind of – try to hold ourselves like what we started to hammer Ron on and Gruden and Bruce. Like, I just think it's premature to get to those levels where we're overly dismissive of this group. I think the nature of the losses over the last three games makes it feel far more hopeless than the reality probably is. You know, they've been outscored 110 to 43 in the last three games. They've gotten their asses kicked.
Yep.
But it's still week 10.
Like week 10 in the second year, and I'm not going to even say rebuild, but Ron, the thing that Ron and Gruden and all of them had, they were still a part of the tragedy that was happening prior to them.
Agreed.
And it never ended. Now this thing has ended. And the thing of it is, we have to figure out a way. Just like if you're in a relationship or you're in an old job and you go to a new one, everything that seems similar to the other is not necessarily the other. You got to find a way to say this is something new and give it a chance. Because what happens is every time something goes down, everyone immediately throws it into that era, with Snyder and all those people. I don't think it's that simple. You know, I have figured it out in my life that, you know what, just because something looked like it might be the other thing, it's not necessarily that. And maybe a lot of people will get to that point one day. But you can't – that's the easy way of doing things. Just blame it on something else.
Agreed. I think if, much like I said, the right of just how he's operated at his other teams, also use that same knowledge to understand he's in it for the long haul. And while they're pissed, there's no way they sit up in that owner's box and watch Jaxon Smith-Njigba carve this team up. They also are. This is a 5-year thing to them. There is the difference in the owner's box makes a tremendous difference. And yeah, this year has been disappointing, undoubtedly.
Very much.
But it's like they're not demanding a fire sale yesterday. Or better than that, they're not demanding to trade for Sauce Gardner and give up 2 ones.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, let's stay the course. This year went bad. Let's figure out what we've done wrong. Let's figure out how to address it. But like, the worst thing they could have done, and something that would not have shocked me in the Dan days, is that the deal Indy put together for Sauce Gardner. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the dumbest thing Washington could have done.
Yeah, but
so standing pat is far better than being aggressive when you shouldn't be.
In the position they are now. Because if they had gone out there and did a move like that, you know what? There'd be a certain amount of people who would be thrilled like hell. And I will bet my house and everything I got on it, those same people are going to be pissed off in 2 years because you won't have a pick, a first-round pick. The same people will be pissed off. So, listen, man, you can't get caught up in the trying to make people feel good for the moment. Okay? If you're in it for the long haul, you know what's going to happen. People are going to be pissed. People are going to be disappointed. People are going to be acting like you don't know what you're doing. But you have to stick to your game plan. If you're in it for the long haul, you have to build the stuff properly to get to that point. And they already took one exit too soon by automatically assuming they're going to come back this year and be where they were last year. They did that. Okay? From now on, no matter how exciting or how humdrum things are, stick to your damn plan. Don't let others make you jump on something else.
Dude, I agree. Like, there's no way they can look at this year and not recognize the mistakes. But and at some point, they need to own that. The way Dan Quinn came out and owned the mistake with Jaden, at some point it's like last offseason was disjointed. Mm-hmm. We recognize we got aggressive maybe too early. We're going to adapt. But you still got to continue to build this thing. And the best part of yesterday is that they didn't do something stupid. Yep. They may have been inactive, but they weren't stupid.
100.
All right. Ben Standig is going to join us next. Greenberg at 11. Leslie Shepard had the same injury as Jaden, right?
Yep. He had a dislocated elbow plus a broken wrist.
Man. All right. So we're going to talk to Shep at noon. Dan Quinn will speak to the media today. I did quickly, B-Mitch, when I walked in this morning, said I looked like I was dressed for something. This evening, I am going to stop by a celebration of life for Dave Sullivan. I met Mr. Sullivan once or twice, but you and I both know his son, Brett. Mm-hmm. You and I both know his daughter, Amanda. Great people, great family, and we just want everybody involved to know we are thinking of them. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. Nobody go anywhere.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. We break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pods.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
10 song right there. The Ace of Spades. I'm trying to think. I saw some crazy. Oh, dude, I think it was. Did you ever watch Severance on Apple TV?
Oh, you asked me that question.
I don't watch much TV,
dog.
Severance is a slow burn, but once you get into it, it's really good. I could tell you, but you're not going to watch it. Okay. You want me to tell you?
Just, I want to know what it's about.
These people live in this, like, I don't know, dystopian area.
Let's go to Ben Standard.
And this dude's brain gets cut in half.
Let's go to Ben
and
Standard.
He goes to work.
Let's go to Ben. Ben is more important than Severance.
Joining us now is our friend Mr. Ben Standing. You can check out his work on the Ben Standing Substack. Benny boy, what's up, dude? Did you watch Severance?
I did. Yeah. I don't know. It was interesting for sure, and some of it was really good. I'm not sure I'm all in for the next season, but the premise was interesting.
It was definitely interesting. Did you like my explanation of it to B-Mitch?
I didn't quite hear it.
Don't worry.
No. Yeah. We can pass that, Ben.
Let's talk about far more relevant.
I've lost too many brain cells already.
Far more relevant matters. Washington stands pat, makes no moves at the trade deadline. Just your reaction to them having a quiet day yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think prior to the Seattle game, you know, it was a debate, you know, winner, even if they had lost the game, you could be like, well, you know, they shouldn't necessarily be sellers because, you know, there's still, you know, a lot of the players here were part of the team from a year ago, and, you know, they've had a lot of injuries, and maybe, you know, they think, all right, we can turn this thing around. But then, of course, with Jaden getting hurt and a third consecutive loss by over 20 points, you know, that, in my opinion, should have altered their view. That said, there was only so much they had to work with it. You know, it was just the, some of their one-year guys, like an Andrew Wiley, somebody like that. And if you look at the trade that were made over the last, you know, 24, 36 hours, it wasn't a lot of, like, trade a player in a seventh for a sixth. It was the bigger name, so maybe there just wasn't a market for some of that stuff, or they just decided, you know what, none of this is worth it. We need to, you know, the best thing we can do is get back on track the rest of the season, whether make the playoffs or not, and, you know, get ourselves into a better rhythm, and keeping the guys we want to have is helpful for that, so let's not worry. I'm okay with it, but I would have liked to have seen something get done, because even the most minimal of moves to help your draft capital for next year I think would be helpful.
But the thing of it is, what if they had people and they have this is the price to get rid of this guy. Somebody come in and want to go much lower than that. You want them to just make the move just to make it?
Well, I mean, look, I'm a believer that if you can increase your draft capital, even if it's something minimal, turning a seventh into a sixth, I think it's worth it. I mean, look, like, just to use Andrew Wiley as an example, because that was the one guy when I talked to people around the league that seemed to be interesting, because he's a versatile offensive lineman and every single team needs offensive line depth.
Sure.
You know, they, you know, for the rest of this season, I'm not saying they couldn't use him, but, you know, on the bench, you've got Brandon Coleman, Trent Scott, George Fant, Nick Allegretti. Like that should be plenty if something were to happen. But like I said, moving up from a seventh to a sixth, you never know what happens. You get enough of these random picks, you package them together, and now all of a sudden, three of these things become a fourth, or you acquire somebody else, or whatever. So I would have done some of it if it was just that. But if they were looking for more than, say, the sixth, you know, if they're looking for a fourth or two fifths or something, well, then sure, I get why, you know, nobody wanted that, and maybe they were just being overly aggressive in that regard. So I don't know what the ultimate conversations were like. I would love to know if Adam Peters wants to dish. But, yeah, I would have, to some degree, I would have traded a lot of guys just for even a minimal of bump. I would have.
I think the most important thing yesterday is what they didn't do, honestly. And, like, Washington could have been in on Sauce Gardner. You know what I mean? Their secondary is getting killed. They're, like, they could have made a move to chase this season and been aggressive. And I almost wonder in the more modern era of the trade deadline, like, if Bruce and Dan were still running the show, if they would have done something like that.
Yeah.
And to me, it's...
make you excited for nothing.
Yeah, like, to me, the most important thing is they didn't do anything stupid. Now, would you have liked to acquire some late-round draft capital? Because that's probably all you would have gotten. We're probably talking, you know, picks 250 and beyond or whatever. Sure, but, like, for me, I've come in with a moderate level of disappointment. Like, I really don't think it's a big deal. And the most important thing is they didn't do anything dumb.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, Dallas at 3-5-1 made a pretty bold move, right, to get Quinnen Williams. And obviously he's a good player, but, you know, what are the chances that Dallas is going to be a player this season? Seems slim. I mean, you know, we'll see. They obviously have the offensive weaponry to get hot, but the defense hasn't been able to stop anybody, and I don't know that Quinnen Williams is changing that. So they traded a deal to give up a first and a second for a half of a year of him, and then whatever else happens, that's a lot for where they are right now. So, to me, it wouldn't have made sense for Washington to go all in on some sort of a Sauce Gardner-type trade, even though obviously he's very good. But this is why they're in a bit of a limbo. On the one hand, you know, they're still trying to upgrade the roster depth and the overall talent, but they've already traded away, you know, picks to get that done. And so that's the thing is, like, next year they only have two picks in the first four rounds. And I get that, like, you know, saying you're adding a very late round pick or upgrading there is not going to change the stat I just said, but that's all they can do on some level. You do what you can and move it forward incrementally, whatever it may be. But yeah, ultimately, sure, it would, you know, who knows what would have happened in the olden days, but, I'm glad, yes, if we were worried about them doing something overly aggressive like that and misreading the room, that would have been a problem.
Yeah, I just, like, man, when I look at trade stuff, and I've always loved it in basketball because one player makes a hell of a difference. And we can look at it in this deal here. If we had tried to get somebody, will it make a difference this year? And cool, it might not make a difference next year, to be honest with you. But if you were to try to trade away some of your pieces to get other stuff, we've already seen – you're going to probably end up with fifth, sixth round, seventh round pick, and probably not even a fifth, sixth and seventh round type stuff. And where has it really bolstered this team? Everybody think, oh, you get a guy, you shine for a little bit. Where has it really bolstered this team in the last 20 years?
Yeah, I mean, they're in an interesting spot, man. And I think the trade that, like, I don't know what Dallas is doing. Quinnen Williams helps them, and you do have him for 2 years. I do think yesterday's movement or lack of movement asked some questions about what's on Washington's roster. But, like, a lot of that die has been cast. I think at this point, 10 games in, 10 weeks in, there's real questions about how they handled that this offseason. Yeah. But they still, at the same time, have 8 games to play, right? Ben, what do you think – Detroit coming to town. Everybody knows what happened last year in the divisional round. Now Detroit just lost at home to the Vikings. Like, looking to the actual football game on the field this week, what do you see? Mariota, quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, the way I've come down the last two games, starting going into the Chiefs game and then certainly this last game, was that, you know, I think we can kind of dispense with, hey, they need to find a way to improve the run game, or hey, they got to stop allowing big plays on defense. Not that those things aren't important, but they are at a stage right now where for them to win, the other team needs to be bad. And Washington may have some influence on that, but not necessarily. Like the Kansas City game, right? The Chiefs have turnovers in their first two drives, and one of them was a really nice play by Marshawn Lattimore. The other one was the tip ball off of Kelsey. But either way, the Chiefs were moving the ball. It's not like they forced a punt or anything. They just, you know, were fortunate to get those turnovers. Seattle had none of that. And so, you know, if the other team comes out hot, I don't think they have a chance right now, which is, you know, and I was saying that last week before Jaden got hurt, unfortunately. They're just in a tough spot in defense. They're not worried about their offense making plays down the field. And defensively, I think the defensive end injuries have just cratered what was potentially working for this defense, because they've had to move a lot of guys around. So not to be like the total bummer, but unless Detroit comes out and for whatever the reason, you know, like last year in the playoffs, right, they committed, what, five turnovers. If they do something along those lines, then sure, if Washington takes advantage of it, they can be successful. Other than that, boy, I just don't see what they're going to do to get this to work. If you're putting it on Mariota's shoulders, I mean, that's not great. And it's not like we can sit here and say the defense is going to buck up and slow them down. So if you're looking for a win, I think you just have to hope that Detroit is not firing on all cylinders, as they say, more than that Washington is going to have some massive improvement, because I don't know that that's coming anytime soon.
Yeah, I just think, I think the defense gets all the blame, but the offense has not been what it was last year, too, where they had the long drives, they got some touchdowns, they took time off the clock. This year hadn't been that way. So just them doing it, being a little better, may help the defense out a little bit. I don't know.
You know what's crazy is that, like, we talk about this offense that, you know, kind of like it's a carryover from last year, largely because Jaden Daniels is here and Cliff Kingsbury stayed. Their top receivers from last year, and a couple of them are because of injuries, none of them are going to play this week. Like, mm-hmm. Every single one of their top receivers from last year is either on another team or hurt, and their top two running backs from last year are also hurt or not here. Now, I'm not saying that they were necessarily wrong to let any of those people go, but there's no carryover almost from last year to this year. Jaden is, you know, especially with Terry being in and out of the lineup, he's been working with completely new players. And, you know, a lot of what went on last year, you know, again, nobody was sitting there thinking that beyond Terry McLaurin, they had, you know, Ricky Sanders and Gary Clark, but they had players who were effective in specific roles that they took advantage of. You know, Deami down the field, Zacchaeus's versatility, Noah Brown, you know, can making some plays in the air, and they found ways to maximize those strengths. The problem I had with the receiver room this year is, you know, they just didn't have the depth. This, to me, had no specific strengths to it, and then when you needed them, which was quickly, they just didn't offer anything to that you could, you know, really work with, or at least they didn't find a way to work with it, and then that just took the whole operation down, because the other the defenses are just like, yeah, we're just going to stack the line, take away the run, clog the short passing lanes where maybe Zach Ertz wants to be, and force you to throw the ball down the field, and we don't think you're going to do it successfully. So, you know, the receiver room is just, you know, just again, just the fact that almost all the skilled players from last year are gone or hurt is, you know, pretty wild.
One word answer, Benny. Do we see Jaden again this year on the field?
No.
Okay. There you have it. Everybody, check.
I don't know that. I'm just throwing
sure,
it out there.
None of us know. None of us know, but it's an interesting situation because they didn't put him on IR. They got two games and a bye week. It's an interesting thing. Everybody check out the Last Man Standing Substack and podcast. Thanks for the time, Benny.
All right, Ben.
Always, man. Thanks, guys.
All right, that's our boy Ben Standig, BCC alum. Go Barons. Give him a follow at Ben Standig. Joining us via the Rude Guest Hotline. Nobody go anywhere. Neil Greenberg joins us at 11.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. FanDuel is putting you in control right from the NBA tip-off. Because every day to start the season, you get to choose your reward. Take a shot with a profit boost, play it cool with a no-sweat bet, or get a little backup with a bet-back token. You hear me all the time when we do our little I heard it here first. I'm always trying to get the big parlay. I don't like to go for the simple. I want the little money to get a big payday. So make your pick. Get in the game and play it your way. Head to FanDuel.com/Brian to make your choice. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. Opt-in required. Rewards are non-withdrawable. Restrictions apply, including bonus and token expiration, leg requirements, and max wager amount. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to come get it, stand next to this money like, hey. There's a minor move in the NFL yesterday.
What was that?
The Atlanta Falcons, after Tony Romo's cousin, Parker Romo, missed an extra point that would have tied a game for them, they brought in a new kicker. You know who it is?
Yeah.
Gonzo.
Yeah.
Shout out to Zane Gonzalez.
Yeah, I saw that.
My man openly talks about his battles with, was it OCD?
Yep.
Something significant. And, you know, the stresses that are on him. But I think, I don't know, Zane Gonzalez, after the doink that got Washington their first playoff win in 25 years or whatever it was, that dude should always have a soft spot in Commanders fans' hearts.
Yeah.
I'll say that much.
Yep. It was a doink, but it went through.
Yeah, man. So, B, Jaden Daniels not placed on IR. Washington made a number of roster moves yesterday. Luke McCaffrey goes to IR. Marshon Lattimore goes to IR. They put Treylon Burks on the active roster, as well as Sheldon Day. They were out of practice squad elevations with him and with the, you know, all the injuries on the defensive front. That makes sense. Treylon Burks to the active makes sense. He made a nice catch. Maybe you see what else you get from Treylon.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden not going to the IR. We know he's not going to play this week against Detroit. Then they're in Madrid against Miami. Then they have a bye week. Where do you land on? Let's just go with what the odds makers are going to say. They lose this week to Detroit. They are significant underdogs. That drops them to 3-7. I am of the firm belief they can beat the Miami Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Say they get to 4-7 at the bye week. Then you're coming back to face Denver at home in a matchup that I am confident the NFL and NBC want to be Jaden Daniels versus Bo Nix.
Yep, they sure wanted that.
Where do you land on?
We haven't heard anything about the MRI. If it's just
he said no ligaments.
So if it's no ligaments and a slight dislocation, I can see it a possibility. I understand the whole mindset of everyone about should never play out there again this year and all that type of stuff. But you still got a football player and a young player who's trying to figure this league out, and you figure it out by playing. I understand he's valuable, but he's going to also have to learn how to be valuable. And you don't learn it just sitting on the sideline. And I know people like, man, he shouldn't play. that's not the way most people in this profession thinks. You know, if you work and rehab and get healthy, you want to be back out there. They got to protect him from him. But still, you want him to become a better pastor. You want him to become a better person to understand how to take care of himself. And I also feel if he's ever back out there again, the offense that's designed need to be something telling me we're trying to protect him.
Yeah, like they did call an RPO on the drive that they weren't going to.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, we can't believe he scrambled. With what DQ said the other day, the only thing that really stood out to me, one, I applaud his ownership of the situation. Whether he truly feels that way or just wanted to get the story to shut up, either way, he owned it all. Mm-hmm. I can't really wrap my brain around, yeah, we knew that was going to be their last drive. Like, if you already know it's their last drive, means you know you're not coming back, just pull them. Like, that, to me, doesn't add up a lot. Like,
if I say, okay, I'm giving them one more drive, and that drive comes up, I just stay and give them one more drive. I'm not going to just pull them out before that drive. You know what I mean? It's like, that's what I mean by the after the fact of thinking and stuff. If that was your mindset, that's your mindset. And unfortunately, he got hurt on that drive. You know, I would have just loved to see it end and see if he had come out. Or if he had come out, then guess what? We wouldn't have known that they were planning on taking him out after that drive.
So. Right. So you think it's a win, not an if, we see Jaden again?
I think it's a possibility. I'm not saying it's a definite.
What if they win this week?
What if they win this week?
That's what I'm saying. Week? What if they beat the Lions?
What if they happen? They happen to beat the Lions.
White Brian, of all people, said something that has been completely dismissed. If they win the next two and they're 5-6 going into their bye week, and you've got 5 division games late in the year, like, yeah, life comes at you fast.
If they
man.
Were to win the next two, you got a bye week, and let's say all of a sudden this young dude. You know, they heal a lot quicker than you and I. You know what I mean? Because we're not as young. Well, you're not as young as me. But he heals quickly, and then boom, yeah, he got a chance down the stretch. You think they wouldn't want him out there?
B, speaking of not being as young as you, I played paddle last night for the first time since last winter.
You hurting?
No, I feel fine.
That's tomorrow. I'll ask you that question again.
Yeah, we'll see. But when I... when I was at my best playing paddle, like there's usually 1 through 8 lines, and like your best player is the one line and so on down. At my best, I was probably like a 4th line guy. Mm-hmm. So at my best, I was mediocre.
Yeah, yeah.
I am not at my best. They asked me yesterday, like, what line do you think you're on now? I'm like, how many are there?
So you had 8?
Maybe not 8, but like,
I mean, but like
definitely not 4.
You shouldn't be at 8. If you were a 4, you should be about a 6, man.
B?
Your mindset.
I relied on athleticism, which you can laugh at if you want, but you see, I went up last night for what I thought would be like just a kind of a winner.
And missed it.
I jumped. I gave it what I got. And
you didn't get high enough.
I went to smash it, and that ball just was cruising right over me. And I swear to God.
I mean, how high was it really?
Higher than I could jump. And I swear, I used to always get those. And I, like, texted Lauren after.
Did you not just miscalculate the height of it?
Entirely possible.
Yeah.
But it's also entirely possible I've lost my vertical. Which I'm not.
In less than a year.
No. Maybe this is over the course of time. I don't know. I'm 44 years old. Maybe I need a stretch.
I mean, just like what you need to do is stop every day talking about how old you are, what you used to do and can't do, and just start doing more.
We've got to do more. Neil Greenberg joins us next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. We break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pods.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.